在中华人民共和国上海，我是李开先生。Live from Shanghai in the People's Republic of China, I'm Kai Rizdal.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Say goodbye to the Pujian. Today is our last day at the Astor House Hotel here in Shanghai. We are packing up and headed inland tomorrow morning, way inland, to Sichuan Province. Great food, not such great economic development. And that is one of the central government's major headaches. We'll be headed to Chongqing. About 33 million people live there, hundreds of millions of more nearby. Until recently, almost all of this country's economic development has happened.
It's the relocation, it's the poverty. China has to figure out ways to create about 30 million new jobs a year to deal with the relocations in the country as the farmers come to the cities, et cetera. Huge pollution problems. They're massive. They're mind-boggling.
Montana Senator Max Baucus has been in China the past couple of days. He made a stop in Chongqing and met with the mayor, among others.
The countrywide growth has been 9%. Several years.
And you know what? It is no accident that Chongqing has been growing as fast as it has. Beijing has been pouring money into that city, trying to recreate the success the central government has had on the coast in land. Marketplace will be in Chongqing all next week, helping you figure out how they're doing. Tucked between skyscrapers here are compact blocks of winding alleys and crumbling buildings. They used to be elegant single-family townhouses. Now, six or seven families at a time are crammed in there. At the tiny restaurants that dot the sidewalks, fresh dumplings are made to order, where people get a full hot meal on a cold day for 30 cents. But there is a completely different China just blocks away, where wealthy Chinese couples order $100 dinners of goose liver parfait.
We're looking at Starbucks here. The two doorways, those would have been a door to a separate townhouse.
6 years ago, the government moved 2,000 families out, and architect Ben Wood meticulously turned their homes into a luxury shopping mall called Xintiandi. On a good day, 25,000 people come through here. The new Chinese elite come to buy expensive clothes. There was a lot of opposition to the project at first.
The Chinese were the most cynical because they said, these were slums, and you're going to turn a slum into a fashionable place? How's that going to happen? And I said, not only that, they're going to be eating outside. That's when they thought I was really crazy. They said, a Chinese person will never eat a meal outside. Only poor people do that in China.
If there is one thing we have discovered this week, it is that there is plenty of money here, and that the Chinese have learned how to get it. What they haven't quite figured out, though, is how do they live with it? Marketplace's Jocelyn Ford found some people who were questioning the value of the good life.
A quarter of a century ago, Chinese leaders chose the tiny fishing village of Shenzhen to become the petri dish for the market economy. Today, it's one of China's wealthiest cities, and its worst. It's a city surrounded by factories, clogged with traffic and people. Is the good life enjoyed in the West. Nightclubs like this one named Chicago, women in miniskirts dance on elevated boxes. Drugs and sex are easily come by. But some people want something more. Here in the living room of a successful real estate developer, a reincarnated Lama from Tibet is doing a ritual for long life. Lama Gyentsen chants scriptures and flicks holy water over the small gathering of believers. He gives each person a tiny red holy pill, vaguely cinnamon-flavored.
You and Shenzhen live in a developed city, so you are richer than most people in China. But you know that happiness is fleeting. You are all suffering.
People like 38-year-old Jenny Cao have discovered the downside of the economic rat race and are seeking out spiritual leaders like Lama Gyentsen. 18 years ago, Jenny arrived in Shenzhen as a teenager. She climbed her way up from a waitress to running her own travel agency. But she wasn't happy.
My goal in life was to make money. I was on the phone all the time. I was always tense and I couldn't sleep well. I lost my temper easily. I was always unhappy.
Then she went to Tibet and found a lama. He said if she did more good deeds, she could get relief from suffering, now and in her next life. Jenny used to try and ride buses without buying a ticket. Now she pays. She gave her successful travel agency business to her brothers and started selling health foods. At the long life ceremony, she's joined by a dozen others. A 63-year-old retired government official, a housewife, a 40-year-old employee of a foreign oil company who goes by his Buddhist name, Drop of Water.
Actually, they lost their way of life.
Monk Tenzin is assistant to the 20-year-old reincarnated lama.
Worked hard, yes, they become rich people. Then every day sad and suffering.
Decades ago, Chairman Mao tried to stamp out religion. Thousands of monasteries in Tibet were destroyed. Since then, the Communist Party has partly relaxed the controls. Ravaged temples are now allowed to rebuild. And reincarnated lamas are coming out of the highlands. Tenzin says people spot their flowing maroon and saffron robes and stop them in the streets and in restaurants. He says they're looking for spiritual direction.
One hand, we purely want to teach them.
Tenzin adds the lamas have their own agenda.
If they want help us, we take it.
Throughout the centuries, Chinese emperors were important patrons of Tibetan lamas. They believed the lamas could help protect their empire, bring prosperity to their subjects, and ensure them a better reincarnation. Now it's China's new rich who are pouring money into Tibetan monasteries. They're seeking spiritual returns the market economy can't deliver. In Shenzhen, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Amid all the shops and restaurants back at Xintiandi, there is one building that's kind of surprising to find there. The house where the Chinese Communist Party had its first meeting, back in 1921. It's a museum now. And it would be kind of ironic, having that building at the center of a shopping mall, except there is nothing at all communist about the Chinese economy today. And the more time you spend here, the more it stands out how comfortable China has become with its version of 21st century capitalism, where changes are happening so fast, it is impossible to know where this country is headed. If you missed something this week, it is all on our website, marketplace.org. It's letters at marketplace.org if you'd care to drop us a line. From our home at the Pujiang Fandian here in Shanghai, I'm Kai Rizdong.
Helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist, the weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com. Marketplace China reports are supported by Best Buy, building a global network to help enrich lives through technology, innovation, and opportunity. Best Buy.
1.3 billion people.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.